N4ZLK, KN4CHY.
How are you today, N4ZLK?
Not too bad. How about yourself?
I'm about halfway home, so I'm doing much, much better. I'm doing well. I hope you have a Merry Christmas. I don't seem to hear you as often as I used to. I did hear you a little bit last night, but seems like it's few and far between anymore.
Between work and other stuff, I just hadn't had a lot of time to just sit around and rag chew. And last night I was having issues getting into the repeater for some reason. Does it seem stable now?
Good signal now. You always have a little bit of white noise on your signal, but it actually seems better today than it normally is.
Good to hear. I don't know if it's on my end or the repeater end, but it seems like when we have inclement weather, that's when everything goes to the trash. So, I heard you several weeks ago mention something about doing digital mode, and I know you've got an 857D. Do you do FT8 on the 857D?
I tried, and I got it working, but it's not consistent, and it seems to not work more than it wants to work. I kind of given up right now. I actually think there might be something wrong with the radio, because I have trouble with sideband. I've got two radios sitting there, and they both are connected to the same antennas with a switch. They're side by side, and one of them, no issues whatsoever on sideband. So I don't think it's RF problems. I could be wrong. I don't know, but I even took this radio on a trip with me in kind of a different setup and still was having the same issue on sideband. It works great on CW, but I could get it to transmit on FT8 for a little bit, and then it would say it was transmitting. Everything looked like it was. Computer was putting out what it was supposed to do, but there was no power output on my meter. I've got a separate meter, SWR and power meter, and it would just be completely, just showing nothing on it. So I don't know. I haven't figured out if it's the radio yet. I'm actually thinking about sending it off to get it checked anyway, because now the speaker's going out on it, believe it or not.
I'd heard you mentioning that too, and that's why I was wondering. I've got a 7300 that I normally use, but I've been eventually wanting to get into more portable stuff, so I was wondering about how the 857 does on. I've got a signal link, just don't have the cables for the 857, so I'd have to look at doing something for that. And the speaker, I was going to tell you, and it sounds like you've probably already done this, but I had problems with the audio on mine one time, and come to find out, I was thinking the same thing, I'm going to have to send it in, get it repaired, and come to find out, I had left the programming cable plugged in. And it made the audio out, like, distorted. Even the beeps on the radio would be distorted. So I was going to mention that, but I guess since you've used it mobile, too, then you probably didn't have a programming cable plugged in then.
So what you're talking about, because I ran into that issue as well. It would be like if you had it disconnected from the computer, or the computer, I didn't turn the computer on first or something, it would be a little distorted. But this is different. This is, it's very distorted. And I looked it up. It sounds like it's a possible, or not necessarily a common issue, but it is an issue that some of the 857s will have. And I've pulled the cover off, looked at the speaker, you know, check the wiring. Everything looks perfect, but I think it's more inside. I think it might be I don't know if it's a capacitor or a resistor or something that might be acting up, and I'm not good enough to figure that out. So, but I do know what you're talking about on that other with the programming cable left plugged in.
That's exactly what it was with me. Had the programming cable plugged into the back of the radio, but didn't have it plugged into the computer, and it was funny because I had just bought a key and had it plugged in, and the key has magnets on the bottom, so I had stuck it to the top of the radio, and I thought, oh man, I've done trashed this radio with these magnets or something. I didn't know what was going on, and I forget how I discovered it, but I had, for some reason, had unplugged that cable and was sitting there monitoring one day, and everything sounded great, including the beeps.
Exactly right. I figured that out, too, pretty quickly. But this, again, this is different, because I've tried unplugging everything and just have the radio on, and if I plug a earpiece in, it works great. A speaker to plug into the microphone or the speaker jack, but I don't want to have to do that all the time, you know. I don't want to have to wear earphones all the time, but it's a great radio. I like it. When it works, it seems like it works great, and I'm still works great on CW. I don't have any issues. It puts out the right, you know, the power no matter what setting I have it on. It's very consistent, and I get good signal reports, but just seem to have issues with sideband, and I think also digital. And I bought the Digirig mobile with the Yaesu cables, and when it worked, it seemed to do a good job. And I made several contacts, and then it just quit. And then I'd unplug it and do it again, and it would work for a little bit, and then quit. And then I couldn't get it to work, so I kind of gave up on it right now. N4 is.
I hear you. I bought that signal link when I had an old Kenwood TS-430, and that's what I bought it for. And I had some of the same issues, and it seems like sometimes it would be the computer, sometimes it'd be the radio or signal link end of it. Everything would be transmitted fine, then it'd go to transmit, and I'd get blasted out from the computer speakers like it just forgot who it was talking to or something. I finally got that 7300 and got rid of the 430, and of course I don't need the signal link anymore, so that's been really nice.
I started reading about FT8, I kind of wanted to learn. I wasn't really planning on getting into it, but I wanted to learn how to do it and see if I could get it set up. My son-in-law got a radio now, and he's going to be getting it set up, and I thought it might be something he might be interested in, and I wanted to know how to do it. And then once I got it working a little bit, then I was like, well, let me see if I can work some and try it, you know. And I just, plus I'm using a MacBook, and I can't find any settings, you know, on the actual program website, the WSJT or whatever it is. They only do Windows settings. And any YouTube videos, everybody has their own settings that they use, but nobody seems to be consistent. So I don't know. I could get it, like I said, I could get it to work, and the red light, transmit light on the radio would be on and everything, but it just wouldn't be showing any transmitting, but, you know, any power going out. But I could receive perfect, you know, I can decode and all that. It just can't seem to be consistent on the transmit part.
I got you. I'll probably look at getting a cable set one of these days for it, and just to try it out. I don't use that radio a lot since I have the 7300 anyway. I'm on a MacBook also. I'll tell you, it's about time to get another one. That's my MacBook Pro's like a 2012, I believe, like a mid-year 2012 or somewhere around there. still runs great, but it doesn't update anymore for, you know, the OS updates.
Somebody on another repeater talking about that, and he, from what I understand, he's got an older one, and he said he found a site that actually walked you through how you were able to update. Now, I'm trying to remember what he said about it. It worked. He was able to get all the updates, but it's not considered, he had to go around a different way to do it. I'm not exactly sure. But anyway, mine's not that old yet. It's probably getting there soon, but it's not there yet. I can't remember. I got it from my son. He bought it new and then got a job, and they gave him a new one, you know, within 6 months. So we did a deal, and I got his. But I can't remember exactly how old it is.
My biggest issue now is deciding which one I want, because I've got friends that have been MacBook Air fans since they first came out, and man, those things are sleek and just, you know, super thin and portable. But then again, I still like having the power of the MacBook Pro, so just haven't decided which way I'm going to go or when I'm going to do it. Get a few $1,000 extra laying around, and I'll finally pull the trigger.
Beach, there you go.
Roger that. Maybe not that many thousands of it laying around. I used to deal with, I don't know if you ever heard about Hackintosh. It's basically running Mac OS on a Windows machine, or back then it was OS 10. So I've done a lot of that stuff, but it was a real pain. Anytime there was updates, it was, you know, digging under the hood and finagling stuff to where it would do the latest update. So, you know, used to work with a tech podcast, and so we were all into that stuff, and it just got to where it was just more of a pain than what it was worth.
Okay. Yeah, I know you can, I think they call it boot camp. I think that's the right term, where you can partition off part of the hard drive and boot it up in Windows. Then you got to buy all those programs for that. I ran the Parallels program on my two daughters' computers. They each bought a Mac their senior year in high school. And then when they went to college, they were told they had to have Windows, and so I ran the Parallels program on there for them, and they were able just to flip it over that way and run the virtual Windows, and that seemed to work. But it's been a while, and I don't really want to mess with this one. My wife's got a computer now that I bought not too long ago, starting a new job, that I just got a reconditioned office Windows machine, and I could probably just use that one now, because she's not really doing a lot on it, and it's right there in the same office. Just have to run a longer cord and go sit at her desk.
I used to do the boot camp thing myself, and it was kind of the same situation like your daughter's, except it was work related. They don't support Mac, so doing solid modeling, there's not a SolidWorks for Mac, unfortunately. So I had Windows on that old MacBook Pro of mine for doing work stuff. And the boot camp worked incredibly well. I did use Parallels for a little while, and it was kind of hit or miss on things. It wasn't quite up to par for running SolidWorks, but everything else worked great. But yeah, I finally just broke down and went to Walmart and bought a little Lenovo laptop for, I don't know, I think it's like $300 for doing, you know, because it seems like all the radio stuff and a lot of RC stuff is Windows-based, so if you don't have a Windows machine, you're dead in the water with a lot of that stuff.
And they're so reasonable, too. I mean, you can pick up something, if you, especially if you're just wanting to run, you know, one program like that WST8 or WJ. I don't know what it is. I can't remember. You know what I'm talking about. But you probably heard me say this before, but my wife used to be a medical transcriptionist, and she had worked on a Windows machine and, you know, had all kinds of programs, and she was constantly searching the web and looking up stuff and going to different sites. And I felt like I was constantly trying to clean out viruses and fix things. The printer would never work. Every time you go to use it, it wouldn't hook up. And I just was constantly dealing with all that. So when I got that MacBook, I was like, I'm never going back, because I never have any issues. It always works.
Roger that. Yeah, same with me. When, like I said, I worked for that tech podcast, and we were doing stuff around the time that OS X came out. You know, they went from System 9 to OS X, and then soon after, you know, switching over to Intel and all that, and it's like, okay, let's give this a try. And yeah, same situation. It just, even my boss man has a saying, you know, you get ready to do something and it just works.
I'm really a computer guy, so I can only go so deep. I can research and I can try to fix stuff, but at some point, I can't code. I don't understand that. Maybe I could if I, you know, took some classes on it or read some books on it, but I just don't have the time. And I just spend an awful lot of time trying to fix bugs and, you know, cleaning out files, cleaning out software, trying to look for viruses, and it was just frustrating. So, I know there's way, I'm sure I was probably not doing it the best way, maybe that's why, but, you know, we had, supposedly had the virus software, and, you know, supposed to, I don't know, set up to do a monthly defragging and all that, but it just seemed like it was work to keep up with it.
Or CHY, yeah, and I think probably not so much anymore, but it used to be back in the day, you know, all the nefarious stuff was targeted to Windows machines because they were so prevalent, and very few people on Mac, so I think that had a lot to do with it too. Yeah, and I did want to ask you about learning CW. How did you go about doing that? Because I've been kind of wanting to get into it myself. I bought that key and then thought I'd tried my radio, so I kind of got out of it, but I've been thinking lately about getting back into it. I kind of played around with the, you know, the A57D has that, like, code practice thing, but it doesn't seem to help me a lot without knowing anything, so I need to figure out some method to learn this stuff.
Okay. Yeah, I have wanted to learn code, or relearn code. I had to learn it for my novice test, but years ago, 5 words a minute, and so I know the characters or was familiar with them, but I struggled copying them at any kind of faster speed, and even 5 words a minute, but I just kept putting it off, and finally I just told myself, if you had done this a while ago, you know, you'd be done by now. Well, I found an app. I think it's called Ham Morse, and there's a bunch of them out there. There's probably a bunch of good ones. This is just the one I found, and it used a method called the Koch method, or Koch method, K-O-C-H, and I just sat down every morning, and I'd get up, and I'd do 15 or 20 minutes, and you start out with one or two characters. You start out with one character. I started with two just to give a little bit of variety. And every week I would add another character. And sometimes I'd add one or add two a week. But I just made myself do it every morning. And that method has you have it set the character speed like at 20 words a minute so that you're not counting the individual dits and dahs. You're hearing it as a whole. And it's easier to get over that 10 word a minute hump if you learn it a lot slower, 30 words a minute, and then the spacing is set at, you can adjust it, but they recommend 15 words a minute at least. And you just, you know, if you just get one letter sent to you after doing that 10, 15, 20 minutes a day, pretty soon it just becomes your muscle memory. You just hear it and your hand writes, and then you just keep adding a letter. And I did that for several months, close to a year, until I felt comfortable enough that I could get on, and sure enough, I was able to copy people. Not perfectly, but I could understand them, and it just went from there.
I think that's probably the biggest single point that I've heard various people talk about, that try to learn it as fast as you possibly can, because if you learn it slow, it's hard to get up to speed. So start out fast and try to keep up with it, especially on the copying aspect. Yeah, I guess that's what I'll have to do, is just write down and dedicate a little window of time every day just to jump in and start trying. It'll seem to
be the best way, you know, and that way you don't get overwhelmed with it. And there was some days where I would actually skip, and I felt like I did better the next day, even though I thought I was going to lose a little bit, you know. And I don't think it's as important to have the spacing, you know, as fast as you can. It's more about having the actual letter set at a faster pace so that it, like I said, it sounds as a whole. You're hearing it as one unit instead of two dots and a dash or something like that, or one dot and two dashes. You're hearing it all at one piece, because it's going by pretty quick.
I'll have to start looking at dedicating some time to that. And so you don't have like a cheat sheet or anything, and that's what I've heard too, is just learn to copy, period, and go from there, and then the rest of it's downhill from there.
Yep. Try not to think either, because especially when you start adding more characters, they were just random letters coming at me. I mean, you could set it up for QSOs and call signs and news and all that, but I just thought I'll just, you know, learn the letters first and the numbers. And I found that it's still true. When I'm copying, if I try to think about it, I actually, or worse, if I just almost like put my mind in a, you know, not try to think and just let my hand respond to what it hears, you know, I do pretty well. And I'm not perfect, but you got to learn to skip too. If you miss one, don't try to think about it, because then you've missed the next two or three.
That makes a lot of sense too. And, I guess probably you kind of hit on it before. It's probably been a lot better to learn this stuff when the gray matter was a little more pliable than what it is in my accelerated age. So, but I'm gonna, like I said, I'm hoping to do some portable stuff once I get retired, do some camping and be able to do some stuff on the road like that. And it would be nice to be out in the middle of nowhere and be able to send code and you know, reach out and touch somebody.
I mean, N4ZLK, yeah, I agree with you. That's what I'd like to do too at some point. But I'm enjoying it. I've had a lot of good conversations. I've met a lot of really nice people. And anyway, and it gets through pretty well. You, on 5 or 10 watts, you can really reach out. But Keith, I'm here. I'm in the driveway. I'm going to go in. I enjoyed it this morning. It's good to hear you. Merry Christmas to you and your family. And we'll talk again. But just let me know if you have any questions. I'll, you know, if you want to know what that app was. It was on the, I'm sure it's in both the Google Play Store. It was in the, you know, the iPhone store. I think it was called Ham Morse. It was I really liked it. It was very simple to use and very self-explanatory. So, anyway, we'll talk to you later. KN4CHY, N4ZLK.
Yep, good time, and I got to start getting prepared to go to work here in a bit, too. So, yep, Merry Christmas to y'all, and I will look up that app and see what I can get started. I've got a couple of more years to... Anyway, y'all have a Merry Christmas, too, if I don't talk to you, and we'll catch you again later in 4ZLK, KN4CHY.